Testing, testing, hallelujah. Good. We are so excited. We have some good people back in that sound and the audiovisual department. They are amazing. Hallelujah. How was everybody's Resurrection Day? We had a good time. I know that other churches in our area had a good time. So hallelujah. On Sunday, Pastor Ricky had showed just a short clip of something called Checkmate. And who was here on Sunday that saw that? That was really powerful. I'm just going to share it again. You'll hear a little bit of talking. This is the picture, the famous painting that he's talking about. So I'm just, it's only about 2 minutes, and then we'll get back to it.
There's a picture in the museum in the Louvre. I don't know how many of you have ever been there. The picture is called Checkmate. The devil's sitting on this side. There's a chessboard. And there's a guy sitting on the other side. And the guy sitting on the other side has his hand on his head like this. And he's like in desperation. And as they were taking a tour through the Louvre, there had been a group of athletes, and particularly world champions, that were being given a special tour. And in the tour was the world chess champion. And he comes walking by the picture. And the guy's explaining to him, this is a picture of an artist's rendering of somebody who lost the battle with the devil. And so the group moved on to the next picture to see something else. But the world chess champion, he stayed there. And he just kept looking at the picture. And soon they noticed that he was not with the group. And so the tour guide came back and said, we've moved on. Are you coming? He said, well, I've been looking at this picture. And the guy said, yeah, he said, it's called Checkmate. The devil's laughing. The man's lost. And he said, yeah, he said, I've been noticing that. He said, but while I've been standing here, I've kept looking at the picture. I've got a problem. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I'm a world champion chess player. And I spend my life playing chess, and normal people don't always see what a world champion chess player sees. He says, but when y'all walked off, I looked at the devil laughing, and I looked at the man in desperation. But he said, I noticed something on the chessboard. He said, either they're gonna have to change the painting, or they're gonna have to change the name. And the guy said, well, why are they going to have to do that? He said, well, you know, I'm a world champion chess player. And he said, when I observed the board, I found out the king still has one more move. I come to tell somebody today, you believe you've been cornered. You believe everything is gone and nothing.
The king still has one more move. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to kind of dig into this a little bit more here. Let's pray before we get started. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to come into your word, to spend time with you, Father God. To first and foremost, Father, to be able to worship and praise you, Lord, to minister to you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your presence always meeting us here. Thank you, Lord, for your word going out and making those changes that we need to make in our life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, hallelujah. We're going to first go down to Exodus 7:1. And let's do New King James for this, please. God bless you. I just want to say right now we are in the middle of Passover. It started April 15th, and it will end on the 23rd. Sometimes our Resurrection Day and Passover will align, just like it did on Jesus. Amen. Back when it happened with Jesus. But It happened again this year. Amen. Hallelujah. And there is some significance to that. But we're going to look a little bit into some ideas of Passover also. But Exodus 7:1. So the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you. So I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my enemies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment." Verse 5, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them. So they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Glory to God. So that right there, hallelujah, does not matter how old you are. If God gives you a word, if God gives you an assignment, glory to God, hallelujah. You're not too old for one more move, amen? Glory to God. So this starts with them going to meet Pharaoh. And then they start going through the plagues. So yes, Pharaoh hardened his heart and did not let the people go. So let's go down to Exodus 10:28. We're at the ninth plague. All right, so 27, end of 27, he would not let them go. So 28, verse 28 here. "Then Pharaoh said to him, 'Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die.' So Moses said, 'You have spoken well. I will never see your face again.'" So there's this final combatant. There's this final thing of what's happening. And I can only imagine what Moses, because Moses doesn't know how many plagues there's going to be. God did not tell him, well, there's going to be 10 plagues. And then after that, no, he just said, "You go talk to Pharaoh." And it was one after the other after the other. So he doesn't know how many. So he's here at this ninth plague. And this ninth plague was darkness for 3 days. But I can only imagine Moses maybe trying to converse with God, talk with God. Maybe it was in his own head of, you know, "I've done everything that you've asked me, Lord. They've doubled the workload to your people. Now Egypt has been in darkness for 3 days. They're still not letting the people go." You know, he feels like it's the end. He feels like there's nothing. And he's probably thinking, "And I even said, I won't see your face again. I agreed to what Pharaoh said. So now we're not supposed to, so how am I supposed to get this done, Lord?" So can you think about, I mean, these are real people. This is really happening. Let's go down to Exodus 11:1. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt.'" Can everybody say one more?
One more.
One more. The Lord says, one more move. There's still one more move. Amen. "And I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt." And then it says the word afterward. Afterward. He will let you go from here. Afterward. So after that, he will let you go. Then after. Right, I'm trying to put this in some different words here. Maybe we can relate to it a little bit more. Afterward, after that, then after, he will let you go from here. Let's go down to Job. We're going to take a little trail here, because this was also stated in Job 42:10. A Good News translation for this one, please. I like how it says this. It's a couple different translations here. We don't have that one. Okay, so I'll read it from my paper. So the Good News translation in Job 42:10, then after Job had prayed for his three friends, the Lord made him prosperous again. and gave him twice as much as he had before. Can we say then after? Job 42:10 in the NIV says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. After that. Then after. Afterwards. After all of this that they had gone through. Amen. I'm just going to make sure that we know who Job is. I think everybody has an idea. But Job had some issues. Job had some major issues. He had to deal with fear. That's what got him kind of off the right path to begin with. He was praying to God out of fear for his children. He had to deal with fear. He had fear issues. He had marriage issues. His wife told him, curse God and die. I mean, so he had marriage issues. He was dealing with that. He had financial issues. He lost everything. And he was a very prosperous man, and he lost everything. He had emotional issues. If you read through the book of Job, he's dealing with this grieving and this loss of his family. I mean, that is very deep, hard issues to deal with. He was grieving through all this. He had health issues. He broke out in boils. He had friends issues. I mean, I think that kind of encompasses everything here. I mean, he had some issues that were taking place. And God said, after that, then after, hallelujah, glory to God. And just to say, God's not putting, if you're in a bad time right now, God's not putting bad times on you. And if, you know, don't think that when bad times come, that God puts bad times on you. We live in a fallen world. We have an enemy called Satan. Amen. Sometimes we've done things to ourselves, made a bad decision, and now you have to deal with the consequences. Sometimes we find ourselves in a hard season of life, like going through grief and different things like that. But after that, amen, but after that, God still has a plan. Hallelujah. There is still one more move. Glory to God. There's only one way you can lose, and it is if you give up. So, and that's one of our sayings with our summer slim down right now, is to not give up and to keep on going. But the only way that you lose is if you give up. We don't give up, amen? We're not quitters in this place, amen? Hallelujah. Just know when it feels like Satan has given his hardest blow, glory to God. You don't know what to do, where to go, what to do next, how to handle this, who to talk to, all of those things. When Satan has given you his hardest blow, he could even be saying, checkmate. Know what? The Holy Spirit is here to say tonight, he has given you his best shot. Don't give up now. Don't give in now. You still have one more shot, and guess what? Satan is out of ammo. Hallelujah. He just gave you his best shot. That's all he has. If we stand strong, hallelujah. If we will not give up, if we will not give in, glory to God. If we will stand, and after all that, stand. Glory to God. After all that I've done, all to stand, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Exodus 12:12. Amen. Exodus 12:12. This is the Lord speaking. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. The Lord is explaining this last move that's going to be happening. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on your house where you are. Now he's talking about, he just gave a very lengthy description of what the Israelites are to do. They were to find a spotless lamb, to take the blood with hyssop and put it on the doorpost around their house. So he's describing that. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hence the word Passover. I will pass over you. The plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. He made a way out for his people. And it was through the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to go over to Hebrews 9:12. It was the blood that they were able to pass over their house. Amen. We can still use that blood today. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Our final sacrifice. We don't have to go by the blood of animals. We are cleansed, washed, forgiven, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Our final sacrifice. Hebrews 9:12 here. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. So fast forward of what we just saw in the Passover right there. Now the Israelites, they have a priest, and the priest goes in and puts the blood of the lamb to cover the sins. And I said the word to cover, not to remove, not to wash away, but it covers the sins of the people for 1 year. And every year the people had to go back, tell the priest their sins, and he had to get this lamb, and he had to do this big ceremony, and it was only to cover the sins for 1 year. So this is what he's talking about here. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Who is that? Jesus. Amen. He entered in once into the holy place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That veil was torn. Amen. He entered once into that holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That word redemption means bought back. He paid for us by his own blood. Amen. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkled in the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14. How much more? Glory to God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to read that in the TPT if we can get that out, please. Hallelujah. Just reading those words right there have power. Amen. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. I think I didn't write it all down. Oh, that's 14. Can I have verse 12, please? Oh, thank you. And he entered, and he has entered once and forever into the holiest sanctuary of all, not with the blood of animal sacrifices, but the sacred blood of sacrifice. And he alone has made our salvation secure forever. Hallelujah. You are secure forever. The old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer were sprinkled on those who were defiled and effectively cleansed them outwardly from their ceremonial impurities. Yet how much more? Glory to God. I love that. Can we just say that? How? Yes, Lord. Will the sacred blood of the Messiah thoroughly cleanse your conscience. Hallelujah. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, he has offered himself to God as the perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. Perfect sacrifice that now frees us from our dead works to worship and to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God, our sacrifice, amen, that took our place. Hallelujah. I saw a shirt on Resurrection Day, or maybe it was the Wednesday before, but it said, a lot can happen in 3 days. A lot can happen in 3 days. Hallelujah. The redemption of human mankind, amen. Glory to God. Satan thought he won. Jesus was hanging on a tree. He could have been thinking checkmate. But in 3 days, amen, 3 days, glory to God, he rose again. Glory. Just like Pharaoh, they were in darkness for 3 days. There's so many different correlations when you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that type and shadow that we see of Jesus in the Old Testament. Pharaoh was in darkness for 3 days. Satan should have learned his lesson, amen? When it happened to Jesus, he should have been, had that countdown. He's like, what's going on? The 3 days. But Jesus still had one more move, amen. And he raised from the grave, victorious for us. Glory to God. But let's go a little bit further. Hallelujah. We just celebrated Resurrection Day on Sunday. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Acts 1:8. Because we are a New Testament church. Hallelujah. We need to know what is going on for us, that it applies to us. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that. There's that word again. Hallelujah. Every time you see an after that, Satan better beware. Amen. Hallelujah. Because after that, glory to God. After that, then after, afterwards, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Can we say, is come upon me? And ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Those words again, after that. Jesus, and we can ask that question, well, after what? And Jesus keeps on telling us here, Acts 1:9, if we keep on reading down. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Glory to God. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, hallelujah, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner, glory to God, as ye have seen him go up to heaven, glory to God. So when we read those words, after that, glory to God, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit will come upon us. We will see Jesus come again. We are going to see that same Jesus, amen? That same Jesus that took our place on that cross. Glory to God in the clouds again. Hallelujah. And we will meet him in the air. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So yes, the blood is there to wash us of our sins. He has given us, Jesus gave us authority, amen? He showed us signs and wonders and how to do these things and told us that we're going to do greater works. Amen. Yes. He's told us all that. And Pastor Ricky, that's what he talked about on Sunday. All these other things that are going to be happening after that. Now it's our turn. Amen. It is our move. And how many believe there will be a move of the Holy Spirit like we've never had on earth before? We need to be ready for it. We need to be building up our faith for that and expecting that. Everything is by faith. Amen. When we receive Jesus, it's by faith. Hallelujah. When we receive the Holy Spirit, it's by faith. We need to be believing for this next move of the Holy Spirit that we know we're just right on that cusp, amen? We know it is going to be happening soon, but there will be a move like we've never seen before. And we are expecting it, and we will see it, and we will know how to handle the Holy Spirit's move in this church and in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That is actually all I have for tonight. So if you have anything else, Pastor Ricky, but that's all my things here. So I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That you have given us one more move, that you have given us your word, that you have given us your authority. And Lord, we step into those things right now that you have already prepared and planned for our lives, that you have placed us on this earth for a reason, Father God. And we're not going to step aside from what you tell us to do and where we're supposed to be and where we're supposed to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we do build our faith concerning those things that you have planned for this world still to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your mighty name. We give you all the glory and honor and praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Well, we know whenever she's reading in Exodus, whenever it said that God was going to come through and kill all the babies and all that stuff, we understand that that's death, right? It's not God, it's Satan. Everybody understands that because that's the whole point of him putting the blood on the doorpost. Satan can't cross the blood. He can't cross the bloodline. He can't. So that was the importance of the blood being put on the doors, right? And because it'd be crazy for God to run around kill people but not be able to go through his own blood. Yeah. Right? Right? So that was the whole point of that. Amen. Which is a sign, right? Like Pastor Chelsea was saying, that's the whole point. We can reference everything from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We really can. Amen. Turn over to Ephesians just real fast, please. We'll probably start about verse 5. We'll see. Chapter 5. We can start about verse 14. Make sure. Yeah, we can start about verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he said, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. See then that you walk what? Circumspectly. Not as what? But what? Amen. Not as fools, but as what? Wise. As wise. Amen. You know, you can walk around with fools and end up being a fool yourself. You understand that? Because, I mean, look at the... moving forward. Redeeming, 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil, right? We understand that. Wherefore, be ye not what? Amen. Unwise, but understanding what? Amen. Hallelujah. But understanding what the will of the Lord what?
Is.
Amen. How will we know what the will of the Lord is? Amen. He'll always take you back to his word. His word is his will, right? And if we're heirs, then this is the last will and testament. Everything that belonged to Jesus, we're joint heirs. So that means it belongs to us, correct? So we have to, wherefore, be ye not what? How would we be unwise? By just going off what somebody says? By just taking as what somebody says as the actual gospel? Instead of getting to the word ourselves? That's like going to school and having an algebra class and not going to algebra class, but getting your friend to kind of tell you what the teacher taught that day, and then you go and take a test. That'd be about the same thing. Really would be. And how smart would that be? You really think you're going to graduate high school doing it that way? It's funny how we think that we can just, you know, the blessing of God is on every believer. That's just how it is. The blessing of God is on every believer. Amen. Hopefully y'all understand that and believe that. Amen. And so as that, Christians have gotten lazy. Not us. Not us. Amen. People that ain't here, right? Amen. No, I'm just joking. But we have gotten a little lazy. Well, what do I mean is, since the blessing of God is on us, it's an empowerment, correct? The blessing is an empowerment. Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God gave us the ability to produce wealth. Amen. Gave us the ability. Also the blessing, correct? So see, if I just take as what somebody says, as I don't really believe that, I'm running around unwise now. Now I'm just going off of what you said and off of what you've lived through your life. So now I'm going off of however you've been living or however your folks have been living, because of that thing that's on the inside of your parents will rub off on you. No, it won't. Yeah, it will. Look at the Israelites. Whenever they came, Moses went up the mountain, remember? What'd they do? First thing, he wasn't even gone that long. They're like, oh, Jesus, Moses probably dead. We don't even know what happened. Make us a god. Why? What was the god that they made? The golden calf, right? Where did that image come from? Egypt. So see, they didn't work on the image, and so they just figured that the blessing of God said he'd do it, we'll just get there. And not want to do anything. See, that's where sometimes people get a little lazy, think that God's just going to drop things on them, because the blessing of God is on our life. Once we become born again, the blessing of God's on your life. That's just how it is. You can either partake of it or not partake of it. That's your choice. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not being mean, because we here with the chickens tonight, right? This is the hard group. If you don't want it, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll take it. And I don't have a problem doing that. I really don't. Because there's too many things that God wants to get accomplished on this earth. Any of y'all have any of y'all watched what's that town you told me about? Over in China? Shanghai. Anybody seen any of that kind of stuff? Yeah. People are screaming from their buildings because they're starving to death. Because they got them all quarantined. So if a Christian doesn't have any money, how in the world are we going to be able to help them? Well, I just got to worry about me and my family. Okay, I understand that. But the blessing of God is an empowerment. It's not to hoard. Amen. It's to help. How do we show the love of God? You can do it all kinds of ways. I'm going to tell you one main way, though. You start giving somebody money whenever they're struggling, they'll remember that. And then they'll start watching, being like, how are they doing that? And then they'll start wanting to hang out with you all of a sudden. You'll just be getting texts. Hey, you mind if we come hang out? No, go ahead. Why? Because they're wanting to figure out how you're doing this. What's going on that makes you be able to do so well, yet y'all are working at the same job? It's the blessing of God that's on our life, right? What was I saying before that? Amen. Oh, we can't be lazy. That's what I was saying. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We can't be lazy. We can't just sit around just because the blessing of God is on our life. Think that we could just sit on the couch, hang out, and that somebody's just going to knock on the door. Ha! Look at that. There's $1 million. Thanks. God gave us an ability to do what? Produce wealth. God gave us the ability to produce wealth. I believe it's the NIV, Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to look it up, or maybe it's the Living. But God gave us the ability to produce wealth. What does that mean? Produce. That means I'm having to do something. Right? To produce something, you're having to do something to be able to produce anything, right? So then everything that my hands touch, God will make turn to gold. Because it's the blessing. And if we don't start working on that image, we'll continually stay there and go, why is everybody else doing so good? Well, number one, people start dealing with their image. Y'all remember Brother Hagin? God told him, his kids, he went to God. He said, look, my kids ain't adequately fed. My kids ain't adequately clothed. my wife ain't adequately fed, she's not adequately clothed, and I'm doing what you asked me. And he said, well, you're not willing or obedient. He said, well, you hit me a low blow, you know, and he said, you can't tell me it takes long to get willing. I almost spit on you, sorry. But he said, so I got willing within 5 seconds. And then he started going along. And then about a few months down the road, he said, God, what's going on? And he said, that image on the inside of you. He said, that Pentecostal heritage is still on the inside of you, that image. He said, you got to take care of that. Because a lot of times people will preach, well, you shouldn't have money. Well, you shouldn't do that. Well, how are we going to reach the world if all of us are barely getting to church? Or we can't even afford gas to get to church because we're not dealing with an image that's on the inside of us that's been put there, or we've allowed to stay there. Because if the world constantly talks lack, oh, there's shortage, there's lack, there's shortage, there's lack. What was the first thing people did? They ran to the store as fast as they could to buy toilet paper, because all of a sudden there will never be another piece of toilet paper. And so fear set in and caused everybody to go crazy. But the blessing of God that's on the inside of you. Amen. The Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. If we had listened, he'd have been like, don't worry about it. Don't run to the store. You'll be fine. But that image of lack, that image of not having it, we got to get it. We have to deal with it individually. I can't deal with it for you. I can't. I've had to deal with it on my own through the Word of God. Just like you'll have to deal with the image on the inside of you through the Word of God. Amen. Right? Yes. Amen. I won't say that. Amen. But we have to deal with images. Correct? And so if we continually keep that image from when we were kids, well, we don't need that. Well, we don't need that. You know, we're doing just fine. We don't need a new car. You know, I'll retire. I'll buy one right before I retire. That way I'll have one for the rest of, you know, until I pass or whatever. Well, that if you start looking at that, that's a lack mentality. That's a lack image that's on the inside of you. Because when has God ever talked about, well, just buy one or just do with this as long as you can? I've never read in the Word of God, ever, except for the Israelites, and that's because they were disobedient. He was trying to teach them to trust him whenever he said, just go out and get mammon for one day, right? And what'd they do? They went out and got it for a couple days. Why? Because that lack mentality on the inside of them, they was like, no, we got to look at all of this. We got to get it real fast. Hurry. That lack mentality they didn't want to deal with. Amen. 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 We'll stop. Amen. Are we live streaming? You can go ahead and kill it. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say this, and I'm saying it with love. I really am. I'm saying it out of a heart of love, because I love y'all. And I really want to see y'all prosper. I really do. And I want to see y'all live in divine victory and divine health every day of your life. Amen. It's going to take responding on our part. Amen. Especially when the minister's ministering. It's going to take responding. It's going to take the crowd be engaged with the minister ministering. Amen. It's going to take that. I know the Holy Ghost is there, but if y'all, I told y'all before, Jesus had to take the blind man out of town because of their unbelief. Correct? He had to get away from all the unbelief. So you're telling me that Jesus, that was here on the earth, had to get away from unbelief to be able to heal somebody? That Jesus' faith and the man's faith wouldn't be able to do it? And the daughter, Jairus' daughter that died, he had to kick everybody out because of their what? So you're telling me that even Jesus himself had to get unbelief out before healing would take place. So if somebody's up here preaching on healing, I don't believe that. And if the crowd's not with him, it'll shut. The Holy Ghost, I'm telling you right now, will shut down. I've seen it happen too many times with Dad. I've seen it. If people are not responding or going with him or sitting there like, I don't believe that, the Holy Ghost won't allow him to go any further. Why? Because number one, they're not honoring the word that the Holy Ghost gave that minister to give to the crowd to be able to help them. Amen? And we got to realize that. But I said all that to say this. July, whenever they're here teaching on prosperity, if you really don't believe in it, I don't know if I'd come. I'm not being mean. I'm not. By no means am I being mean. I'm truly not. But look, it's a stage. It's a growth process. Amen. I've had to grow, and I'm still continually growing. Trust me, still growing. Still. Because I'll hear Dad... Dr. Dad say something, I'll be like, holy cow. He told me something the other day, just floored me. And I've read it 8,000 times. Then he said something, I was like, wow, all right. Well, I'll adjust. So if you don't believe in prosperity, that is fine. But as for me and my house, we're going to move forward. And as for me and this church, we will move forward. Because there's too many things that God wants to get done. There's too many people lost for us just to sit here and not be able to go out and minister, not to be able to go out in the community and change things, not to be able to go out in the community and start a school, because the person with the most money has the rules. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody with money that people will always listen to. And the church has been set back too long. Satan's really just deceived the church of thinking, you can't have money, that's evil. Don't do that. But yet all these sinners were able to go forward, and now they got a big voice. And the church is back here going, I can't believe, look at all these heathens. I can't believe nothing. I wish I could say something. Well, we can now, because we're understanding what the blessing of God will do on our life. Amen? Amen. Don't be mad. I love y'all. Smile, say it's getting better. Amen. I think that's all I have. Amen. 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 All right. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. We do thank you for your word, Father God. Not just your word, but the things that you bring forth to help us throughout the week, not only throughout the week, but things that we might be going through already. Amen. I thank you, Father God, that you told Jesus, you told him, you said, I got to go. Because if I don't go, the comforter won't be able to come. The helper, the standby, the advocate, the strengthener, hallelujah, the counselor. Amen. The Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of each and every one of us. Amen. Continually helping us throughout our lives. Amen. Amen. And we thank you for it, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.